thick up here this morning.
Yes, sir.
Some people may characterize me as an unorthodox preacher. I was taught a long time ago to just let the Lord have His way. Sometimes that means that I need to get out of the way in order for the Lord to have His way. If He could give me just a little bit more power in this monitor. I don't know what the Lord has planned, but first and foremost, I want to say that I am honored. And I, in the most respectful way, I want to honor the man of God of this house. And I want to honor the first lady of this house. In a time in my life where I needed a move of God, God sent me a man of God. And that man of God is Pastor Jason Scales. And I'm thankful for that. And right quick, I just have to say this. And typically, I don't have my parents in the house of God with me. But they drove up from Alabama this morning. Dad and Mom, will you stand up right quick? I just want my church family to see my family. Not only my earthly dad and mom, but my spiritual father and spiritual mother. Dad's now retired, in one sense, from pastoring. But I want to share a few stories with you this morning. I have a message entitled this morning, "The Funeral Has Been Canceled." Years ago, I was about 13 years of age, and my father was asked to go out and fill in at a church and preach there one Sunday. That church was closing the doors. And when my dad showed up that morning, they had 7 people. And he preached his heart out, as he always does. And it's all I've ever known of my dad, to preach with everything that he has. He's always taught me, "Son, this might be your last opportunity, so you need to give it your all." So if you see me get a little bit excited, please understand that I don't take this moment for granted. And at the age of 14, my dad preached in a church, and I remember sitting in the back seat of the car after the service was over as they was driving home, and my dad looked to my mom and he said, "Mama, what do you think?" And she said, "Daddy, I don't know." And I remember later that night playing in my bedroom, and I could hear my dad crying in his bedroom, seeking direction and a word from the Lord. Yeah. 2 weeks later, God laid it on his heart to become the pastor of that ministry. And the ministry began to grow. And I remember a little over a year and a half later, and please, I'm not trying to be offensive this morning, but a little over a year later, Dad was pastoring in an area where they resisted the move of God. They resisted people that didn't look like us. They resisted getting loud in church. It made them nervous. There was a note sent to my dad. And the note said that if you allow somebody in this church that doesn't look like you, we'll burn this church down. And I remember my dad sending back a note. He said, "I want to tell all of you devils something. If you burn this church down, we'll build it twice as big." And you know what happened? The devil didn't burn it down, and they still built it twice as big. And the only fire that took place around there was the fire of the Holy Ghost. I don't say that to pat him on the back this morning, but you got to understand the funeral's been canceled because 3 years ago he had a heart attack and he wasn't supposed to live. But here he is today. And what you see today is an example of a godly father and a godly man of what he imparted into me with a praying mother. John 10:10, I just got to flow with the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, media team. John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. The beautiful part in that scripture is that Jesus said, the word said that I've come to give life. And that life more abundantly. I'm going to tell you something today, that the devil wants to steal your joy. The devil wants to kill your influence. And the devil wants to destroy your life. You are here on this earth with a purpose. You are here on this earth for a reason. The devil has a plan. I'm going to tell you something. In the beginning of time, we find that the devil had enough influence that a third of the angels fell from heaven with him. That's influence. But don't be intimidated. I'm not up here today to give the devil a pat on the back or credit. The reason being is that the Bible says that one day there came a time, as our first lady said earlier, that his body was broken and bruised, that he hung on a cross. But the story does not end there. The Bible clearly tells us that it was a setup because there was a plan in the making. The Bible goes on to say that Jesus made an open show of the devil. And he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And today, he's not in a borrowed tomb, but he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. The devil has a plan to steal your joy. He wants to see you depressed. He wants to see you operating in discouragement. He has a plan to kill your influence. That's why he loves when you mess up. He loves when you make that mistake. And he has a plan to literally destroy your life because he is intimidated about the thought of a son or daughter of God being on the earth exhibiting the goodness and the glory of God. Satan rebelled because he wanted authority. But he couldn't understand it. He had never been with humans. And then God created Adam and Eve. And the devil's just scratching his head because he's like, I've never dealt with humans before. What do I do? I can't tempt them and tell them that God don't love them because God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. And he spent time with Adam. I can't tell them that God doesn't care for him because look at all these provisions. They're living in the Garden of Eden. So the only thing he could try to do was deceive them by getting them to believe something that was not true. How many of you have ever been guilty of believing something that simply wasn't true? So the devil's plan is to operate through deception. Typically something when people don't understand something, they criticize it. That's why I've learned not to judge a book by its cover, but to try to spend time with somebody and get to know their heart and get to know their feelings and their understanding. You might be surprised that sooner or later you may actually like the person that you think you don't like. Just ask my wife about that. Last night I was guilty of sleeping on the couch. But that's just because she allowed me to have that time with the Lord last night. And see her, amen. There's a story in 2 Samuel. It says in chapter 17, many of you are familiar with this. So let me just be very brief, preaching a topical message today. Remember, the funeral has been canceled and I'm going somewhere with that. There was a plan for God's children. The enemy had a plan as well. And that plan was for the giant Goliath to issue destruction, to issue fear, to instill a mindset that you are beneath, that you are below, and that you are not good enough. Goliath mocked the people of God, talked about the people of God, accused the people of God. But sometimes it takes people that don't look all churchy to finally understand, you know what, this ain't right. And there just happened to be a young little boy who'd been tending to his father's sheep, who didn't have the appearance, who didn't fit the bill to be a soldier on the battlefield. He didn't look the part. He didn't sound the part. He wasn't old enough for the part. But how many knows that the way we look at things, God looks at it differently? For the Bible says that God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And there was a young boy that said, you know what? I've had some experience. The Spirit of God's come upon me, and I've had an experience killing a lion. And I've had an experience killing a bear. Who does this giant think he is? This is nothing. And so he goes up there, but here's the issue. Saul recognizes his boldness. He appreciates that boldness. But with that being said, Saul tried to get David to look like him and his men. So you find in 32 through 38 there that now all of a sudden they're trying to get David to put on some armor. How many knows that sometimes you aren't created to look like everybody? You're not created to act like everybody. God's got your name on it, and he's got a plan with just you in mind. Your blessing may be different from my blessing. With that being said, Saul tries to put on David, get David to put on the armor. But there was a problem. The armor didn't fit. And David said, I'm not used to this. Something's not right. This is not who I really am. Let me tell you, it's very common to reach out and search for the things that we're used to or familiar with. When we're feeling lonely, it's easy to send out a text. Hey, what you doing tonight? Come on, familiar things. It's easy to try to get in touch with somebody when you're feeling lonely. The familiar things, the things that your flesh wants you to adapt to. Just like Saul wanted him to adapt with that armor. You can't really overcome this if you don't look the part, see the part, be the part. If we're operating in depression, there's that common temptation to go to the bottle, take a pill, or get alcohol. There's that temptation to rely on things that are only temporary fixes. If we're careful, we'll put on the wrong armor that we weren't intended to wear. We'll begin to wear things that we shouldn't be wearing. And then when we come to church, it's hard to lift up holy hands when we've been burdened down with the cares of this world. David said, something doesn't fit. I'm not destined and assigned to wear this type of armor. God had a different plan. And God instructed him to do something that didn't make sense. How many knows that sometimes God will ask you to do things that don't make sense, but you know what? It makes faith. And the key in all of that is, David goes down by the brook and he grabs 5 smooth stones. But you got to understand something. It wasn't just Goliath that was on God's mind. He wasn't just thinking about the giant that was in front of him. God was also thinking about the other brothers that Goliath had, his family that were giants as well. And so he had him pick up 5 smooth stones. 5 stones weren't meant for Goliath, but it was meant for all of the giants, including Goliath, in his family, to remove the curse, to remove what had been vexing God's people. I want to tell you something. When God's up to something, he doesn't just have your present condition in mind, but he's thinking about your future. He knows that there are some giants on the way. You may be facing a giant right now, and maybe the way God wants you to handle it, it doesn't make sense. Maybe he wants you to wear an armor that you don't understand today, but he's got your best interest in mind. He knows there's a giant today, and down the road there's a giant. But if you prepared, David was prepared. He used 1 smooth stone to knock down Goliath, but there were still 4 stones in his sling, because there were some giants that was in his path. And when the time come, he had the right weapon. He had the right ammunition to take down what the devil had meant to take him out. I want to tell somebody this morning, put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to withstand the
fiery darts of the enemy. Some of you have been wearing the wrong armor. It's time to get packed up, get prepped and trained as a soldier of the Lord. God's not looking for any wimpy Christians this morning. He's asking for somebody just to lift up your hands and say, Lord, I'll be a soldier in your army. Yes, the battle gets weary. Some days get long. But when you've done all to stand, stand your ground, even when all hell is coming against you. Stand your ground. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. Somebody give him praise this morning. There's some giants that have to fall this morning. Well, if y'all don't sit down, I'm really going to be all off of my notes this morning. I'm just kidding. I hadn't even opened them up this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Warfare is just a sign that the enemy has discerned your future. Anytime that you experience warfare, you better get ready, because there's a miracle getting ready to give birth. News had traveled that Jesus was about to be born. And then news traveled to King Herod that the Son of God had been born. Herod gave off a fake impression that he was concerned about the baby and he wanted to bless the baby, when in his heart he wanted to kill Jesus. Opposition will always come right before there is a miracle that's about to get ready to take place. I'm going to tell somebody this morning that today it's easy for us to shout in here in a house of God, but I can be realistic with you that when you walk out these doors, there's a battlefield. But I want to let you know, you're not alone today. Somebody is with you. There's a statement right quick. My time is running short. But we find here that in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. He gives us a formula on things that we can wear to have the proper armor. Okay? I've got a lot of notes and I don't have time to get to them. So let me just put it this way. Let me skip over a few things. I want to honor the man of God and the time that he has given me. The Bible says, to stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's kind of how I was sounding after watching the first quarter of Alabama yesterday. Didn't know what to think. You're equipped. Let me tell you something. Your armor prophesies victory. Think about what he says here. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to use just an example this morning. Brother Charles, will you come up here, sir? I appreciate him. So this morning, I want us to think about, just for a moment, I'm a visual learner. Hopefully some of you are this morning. With that being said, sometimes in our battle, sometimes it can be very lonely. Sometimes maybe we're afraid. I know one of my concerns is sometimes I'm afraid of really letting people in. because I'm afraid of how they're going to judge me. I'm afraid of what they're going to think about me. You know, being the pastor's kid, you know, everything we do is 10 times worse. And you know what I used to tell people, Carrie? Finally, I got a revelation. When people tell me that it was the pastor's kids that was the worst kind, I always told them it was the deacon's daughters that corrupted us. That put a stop to that. Well, oh yeah. Hallelujah. You might find yourself this morning in a situation where you're overwhelmed. Okay? I'm going to tell you something right quick. There's a story. I mentioned this briefly, but I'm going to have to skip over for the sake of time. God has equipped us to put on the right armor. And if we properly wear the armor, and I don't have time to break down what all that armor represents today. I've got to get on. But if we properly wear the armor, every day can be a good day for you. In spite of things going bad, things can still be good. As the woman of God said earlier, and as the worship leader said, it is well. With what? My soul. Everything can be going wrong around you, but that doesn't mean that everything has to be going wrong in you. There was a time in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 20, where they were surrounded by the enemy. Brother Sam, is it okay if I use you as an example? Can you come up here, sir? This man preached the word of God this morning. Woo! The meat of the word. Can you stand to my right side? Thank y'all. This is spontaneous. I apologize. Ooh, it's a little intimidating. I'm glad we're brothers. Literally. So, let's get over just a little bit. Charles, I want you to think about it. Sometimes, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, what am I going to do? Typically, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm going to focus right now. Charles, his name is going to be battle. Okay? I'm going to be looking at the battle. I'm going to be looking at the problem and the situation. And the more I look at this, I just get overwhelmed, and I dive deeper until I start opening up the door. The Bible tells us not to give place to the enemy. So it starts, Sister Scales, with my mindset. And if there are moments where I allow the enemy to come in and get me to believing something that is not true, I'll begin to just focus on the battle and the things that are not going right in my life. In 2 Chronicles 20, Judah was surrounded by the enemy. Surrounded by the enemy. And King Jehoshaphat goes on a fast. Just a simple definition of what the word fast means. It means self-denial. So he denied himself, he denied his best interest, he denied thinking about him and his men, and in that moment, he sought God. He sought God in the midst of a battle. Here they're surrounded on every side by the enemy. There's tons of Charleses all around King Jehoshaphat and his men. But through self-denial, Jehoshaphat opened up an opportunity for God to move in the situation. Let me tell you something. God's just looking for you to make yourself available. Little is much when God is in it. God's just looking for an opportunity. It just starts with saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So here they're surrounded on every side by the enemy. And we already know that Judah means praise, right? And we understand that the people of God, they're surrounded. Judah's surrounded. And the Bible goes on to say that a man of God speaks up in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And the word of the Lord comes in chapter 20, verse 15. The word of the Lord is risen up and it says, this battle today is not yours. The word of the Lord came into them and said, this battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. Talking about a change of mindset. So what happens in the moment when I'm looking at my battle, but all of a sudden, my battle has to look at this. This morning, Sam's going to be the Lord, okay? And we say that respectfully. And I think literally. So when I'm overwhelmed in my situation and I allow the negative thought, as my dad used to say, stinking thinking, when I allow that feeling to go on and I focus on everything that's not going right and I focus on all the situations and how we've been burdened down and I'm weighed down and I continue to look at the battle, sooner or later this battle will overtake me and the enemy wins. But if in a moment I can just get the realization and the revelation that that battle I'm going through is not my battle. And the reason it's not my battle, because I belong to Him. And if I know that I belong to Him, instead of me trying to fight my battle, Ephesians 6 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against every principality and power, spiritual wickedness in all high places. We don't wrestle in the flesh. So instead of me trying to fight my battle on the own, I will fail if I fought it in my flesh. But if I fought it by faith, it's the Lord that goes before me. And now the battle has to bow to my Creator. I'm talking about, here is the ultimate champion. Everything that you're facing today, it has to bow at the feet of Jesus. You may be surrounded, but you got somebody right here. Though there might be a falling on the left and the right, no sickness will come nigh your dwelling. If the God be for you, who can be against you? Trouble will come. Tribulation will come. Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. You'll have hardships. But be of good courage. I've already overcome the world. So that same spirit that lived in Jesus now lives in you. Whatever you need this morning, God can do it. Whatever battle you're facing, God can move you right through. If you need healing, God's already paid the price. If you need a breakthrough, a breaker's anointing is in here this morning to see you through every situation. I want to tell somebody, instead of looking at your battle, start looking at the one who holds your tomorrow. I love how my wife says it. Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who holds tomorrow. And how that rings true this morning. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who's with me. Courage and boldness in the Holy Ghost is knowing who's with you. It may not look right sometimes, but He's with you. It may not feel like it sometimes, but He's with you. You may be down and out for the count. They may have knocked you down. But the Bible says that the righteous fall down, but the righteous, they get back up. Why? Because of what He did at the cross. Jesus still saves. He still heals. He still delivers. And He's coming again. He that should come shall come. And it will not tarry. I'm on an old gospel ship this morning, getting ready to make my way out of here. But while I'm here, I'm going to praise my way out. Yes! Hallelujah! So they realized, once the word of the Lord came forth, that the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. What did they do? They got Sister Loretta and the team. They got a hold of the worshipers and the singers. And the Bible says that Judah, before they even had to lift their hand to physically fight, the worshipers went before them. They're going to battle singing praise to the Lord. My goodness, it don't make sense, does it? Woo! But it makes faith an opportunity for God to move, because faith is the only language that God understands. Because we know without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And the Bible says that the worshipers went forward, and I'm closing down. If the worship team wants to come up, the Bible says the worshipers went before them. And the Bible said, look this day, set your eyes upon God, for He will fight this battle for you. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And the Bible says that they didn't even have to lift a finger. All it took was worship. And it produced confusion to the enemy. It doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Will you stand with me this morning? Just for a moment, I want to open up an opportunity. And I don't know what battle you're facing. It was a tough week for my family as we yesterday celebrated with sadness in some aspects the homegoing of my Uncle Charles. He had fought cancer over 7 years. He was given 6 months to live. That was over 7 years ago. He was a fighter. And the last time I went to see him a little over 2 months ago, he leaned over into my ear and he told me, I'm fighting because I have a family. I'm fighting because I have grandkids and great-grandkids that need to see a godly example. Here's a man that's raising his grandkids and great-grandkids. He said, I've got a reason to live because I want them to see God in my home. Some of you may be fighting a battle that is bigger than you, because maybe somebody else's blessing is attached to you. And when you get a breakthrough, that's the encouragement that someone else needs to see to keep fighting. One thing I've learned in this ministry, and what Pastor Jason says many times, and something I don't take for granted, he makes the statement, and he says, God is interested, and He wants to invest Himself in you. He makes it personal. Today, if you don't have a relationship, will you bow your heads right quick, please, under the, just out of respect of the presence of the Lord. Maybe you don't have a relationship this morning with Jesus. Maybe you need somebody to fight some battles for you. But first, I want to encourage you to give your heart to the Lord. Maybe you need to experience that walk for the first time with Jesus. If that's you, will you raise your hand? Or maybe you're in a backslidden condition. Maybe you say, you know what? I've been abusing my relationship, and I haven't been faithfully giving the Lord what He needs for me. Yeah. With no one looking around, will you lift your hand? That's you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there any more that'll just be honest and say, you know what, Lord? I've been trying to fight this on my own, and in the process, my heart has become a little hardened towards You. Maybe today God wants to mend that heart. He wants to mend that heart. If you're in a situation today where maybe you're overwhelmed in a battle, we just want to make these altars open just for a few minutes. Maybe there's something you need to give to the Lord. We want to pray with you. We want to believe with you. We want to be in agreement with you that God is a God of miracles. And He can move a mountain just for you. Just for you. Because I promise you there's a blessing and it has your name on it. If you need to come this morning, these altars are open. If you're in a battle, if you're overwhelmed, if you're needing help this morning, I want you to step out by faith. Maybe you need to reconnect this morning. I want you to step out by faith and say, you know what, God? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to keep fighting this on my own. I'm not going to keep being my own worst enemy. I'm going to give my life over to you. I'm going to surrender everything to you. If the Spirit leads you, will you come this morning? Go ahead.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. Oh my, oh my.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, if there's others, come, come. Let the Spirit of the Lord move. Just forget about everything else.
It may look like I'm surrounded,
and it's just you and God.
But I'm surrounded.
Just you and God. Just you and God.
It may look like,
come on, lift those
hands. I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by
you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by it.
Yes.
Whoa.
Move in that
I'm
life.
Surrounded,
move in that life.
But I'm surrounded by it.
Hey,